My name is Naomi, and I'll be reading from the book of Matthew, the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we love you. We worship you and we honor you. Please be with us this morning as we learn more about what it's like to be on mission for you. Amen. Thank you.
All right. Good job, baby. All right. Well, good morning, Bridge City. Thank you for having me this morning. That's a pretty cool kid over there. So thank you, Naomi. Yes, it's great to be here this morning. Like Chad said, not a stranger to this group, so very glad to be here. So my name is Paul Pugh, and my family and I belong to Crossroad Church, not so far down the road, and we've called that home for about 15 years now, and I'm really excited to share with you here this morning. You might be wondering why I'm here. Why is some random guy from another church here speaking? Not just because Pastor Lou is on vacation, but I serve on the missions committee at Crossroad, and a few months ago, I had the privilege of attending a Global Methodist Church conference called Engage. And this was about what it looks like for churches to be on mission as individuals and on mission as a congregation. It was a challenge for Global Methodist churches to live out the Great Commission that Naomi just read by looking to Acts 1:8. So I'm excited to be here to share some of those key learnings from that conference. So let's take a look at Acts 1:8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Reverend Greg Jenks, he's a GMC pastor in North Carolina. He stepped up at this conference and started by saying, "Yes, Lord, yes." And then looking at us. That's how the whole conference started. And he said it again, "Yes, Lord, yes." And then we started to pick up that he wasn't going to continue until we enthusiastically joined him by saying, "Yes, Lord, yes." Okay, we got it. One more time. Ready? "Yes, Lord, yes." Okay. So does anybody here feel a little uncomfortable? Like, what are we agreeing to already before we've even heard the message? Well, that's how the conference started. It was about 30 people, and we're sitting at round tables, and we're looking at each other, and I know they're going to ask me, "Do you know what that means?" And I was super nervous. Actually, I kind of felt like this.
"I'm going to need your tie."
"You can, no."
"Your necktie, take it off."
"No, I'm not taking my tie
Come
off.
Come on, Jet.
Don't do that.
Save it. Ah! Oh, save it, Jet. What?
Fine, take it. Take it.
Just right over
you
here.
You can have it. Okay, that. Listen to me. Listen. Stop. I need to know what is happening right now."
Okay, you know what? Moving too fast. Bottom line, are you in or are you out?"
"What are you talking? In or out of what?"
No time for questions, just action. In or out?"
"Okay, well, then I'm out."
"I'm sorry, Jet. Actually, you're already in."
"Okay, then why would you ask me?"
"Because I thought you would go, 'I'm in, Bob,' and we would have had a really cool moment, but you kind of ruined the whole thing."
Okay.
That's exactly how I felt. I'm like, no, I'm not doing this. So let's embrace the "yes, Lord, yes." Let's not ruin it like Kevin Hart's character did here. So church, are we on mission? The conference was designed for Global Methodist churches to do a health check when it comes to being on mission. And I do want to point out that this means more than what we traditionally think of when we hear the word missions. We think of mission trips. We think of missionaries in foreign countries. And that's not to downplay those at all. Those efforts are critical for the overall impact of the church. But what the conference was getting at is to see if the church is alive. Are we living out the Great Commission? Are we living out Acts 1:8? Are we actively making disciples? So my home church at Crossroad, we will be going through a similar health check in a few weeks. And as I prepare to lead that conversation, it had me digging into the church's mission statement and the GMC's mission statement. And here's what I found. As a global Methodist church, we are on mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ who worship passionately, love extravagantly, and witness boldly. The Global Methodist Church upholds the lordship of Jesus, the authority of Scripture, and the role of the Holy Spirit in sharing divine truths. So this is the mission of the Global Methodist Church, and I admit that I could not pull up all of this from my own memory. And you know, I'm the head of the missions committee. I feel like I should have done a little bit better job. So, but don't worry. You know, this is something that needs to get part of what we do each day. And so that got me to your website and understanding what is the mission that Bridge City serves. First of all, we are connected by this. This is part of your site. This is part of the mission as being part of Global Methodist Church. But what I love about your church is it takes it a step further, a step deeper for this congregation. So hopefully you maybe have seen this, right? Making disciples of Jesus by building relationships, bridging needs, and growing faith. We are committed to living fully into the life God created us for. We believe in a God of transformation and forgiveness and are thankful to share the hope found in Jesus Christ with the world. Does that look familiar? A couple nods? Yeah? Okay. So that's the yes, Lord, yes, right? Between those two statements, that's us on mission. Did you happen to catch the phrase that is exactly the same between both statements? Anybody catch it? Yes, Georgia, make disciples. That is what we are here to do. We are here to make disciples. So how are we doing? How are you doing? Are you on mission? Are you intentionally making disciples by building relationships, by bridging needs, by growing your faith? And this is not to shame anybody. Please, this was a big point of emphasis at the conference. When we're building God's kingdom, when we're making disciples, that is hard work. This is merely a health check. What are we doing well? Where can we step up and do a little bit more to be more on mission? All right, so we're here this morning. We are at church. Why do we come to church? Not a rhetorical question. Jump in. What are some reasons that we come to church? Yes, to worship. Yes. That's right. Okay, yes, we are wired to worship. Worship puts everything in the right perspective. God is almighty. God is good. Through Jesus alone, we have eternal life, and our sins are forgiven. We get the privilege of joining him to do his work here on earth. The more that we worship, the more that our eyes get fixed on him, and less on, by comparison, the things that may not be going just right in our lives. So yes, worship. What else? Why else do we come to church? Renewal. Give me some more. Yes, okay. Well, yeah. Yeah. Yes. Okay, did you read my notes? Okay, so that's right on. That's right on. Well, yes, with renewal, we need to hear, learn, and apply the word, right? We need to know God's word. We need to understand how all of this works. We need to understand the ways that the enemy is going to try to attack us and the biblical strategies to be able to stand firm. As we hear the word, our knowledge and our hearts will strengthen. Like your mission statement, our faith will grow the more that we're rooted in truth. And what you're getting at, what's your name? Dana, thank you. We need to get equipped. We need support from other believers. We need that fellowship. Because following Jesus, it's not for the weak. As we advance his kingdom, we're upsetting the world. We're upsetting the enemy. When we have tragedy that falls in our lives, it can be hard to trust in God. Our faith can be tested and broken if we're not careful. So having a spiritual family by our side day in and day out, that will sharpen our faith and help us to persevere. So there are more reasons of why we come to church, but if we're looking at worship, hear, learn, and apply the word, and having fellowship and support from other believers, why are we doing that? What's the point? You said to get equipped, right? And that's right. That's right. Make disciples. Exactly right. We are here to do this, to get equipped. This is the training ground for us to be able to go out and to go shine. This is not a place for us to become a nice person, right? This isn't a place where I can check the box, I was there on Sunday, I'm good with God for the week. No, that's not. We are here to get equipped. When we are on mission, you know what's front and center? Don't get scared of this word. This is kind of a funny point at the conference. Evangelism. Ugh, there's that word. Ugh. Right? Don't worry, we're not going to leave. I'm not going to have you knock on doors until someone answers. But when we're on mission, we are making disciples. That is the definition of evangelism. It is pointing people to Jesus. It's witnessing what we know. Now, church, it is not easy to stay on mission. Just about everything in this world, including the enemy himself, does not want us on mission. Being on mission means that more people find Jesus. Being on mission means there's more freedom. Being on mission means more people have eternal life. It means fewer people are under the control of dark forces. So I caution us not to drift off of mission. It is so easy to get pulled away from the Great Commission and to start looking more like Jesus consumers. You know what I mean when I say the word Jesus consumers? A Jesus consumer is someone who is looking for the ways that the church or Jesus, how can it benefit them? What's in it for me? How can church help me get the things that I want? The success. If I pray just right, I'll get the family. I'll get the job that I want. The security, the comfort. If I do this church thing correctly, I'll get everything I ever dreamed of. But there are some dangers of living as a Jesus consumer. First, following Jesus becomes performance-based. We start to think that we can earn our way to our blessings. We start to put our efforts and our ideas ahead of what God is calling us to do. We quickly forget that He is Almighty, that His plans are going to persevere. So we work hard just to make sure everything is right. And we ignore the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We are in it for ourselves, getting what it is that we want. And we're not on mission of making disciples. And then we wonder why we're in a bad place. Two, this one's fun. We become offendable. When we're doing things our own way, we start to look around the world to figure out, okay, how can I get the things that I want? I noticed somebody did this and then they got this. If I do this, then I'm going to get this. And we slowly start to kind of map our vision around making sure that we get what it is that we want. And if we're called out by a Christian brother or sister saying, hey, there's something going on in your life that doesn't quite seem right, we get offended. What do you mean? This is how it is. Don't come in and disturb everything that I'm working on. And sadly, this is really prevalent in churches today. We have people that get offended when a pastor, I don't know, reads from the Bible. Yeah, imagine that. And so we're called out by the truth. We get offended. Then we have people that will leave churches to go somewhere else so they can get filled up, so they can get what it is that they want because they're trying to find the right place to get the things that they want versus being on mission. Third, following him becomes even more difficult. Life is hard, isn't it? We find ourselves in situations that are too tough to deal with on our own. And if we're living as a Jesus consumer, if we don't get what we want, if we're told no or there's something else, what are we going to do? Throw a fit. That's exactly right. We're going to complain, right? We're going to be on customer service immediately saying, what are you doing? This is not what I signed up for. And then we miss the lessons. It's part of your mission statement, right, to grow your faith. We are here to become more holy. But when we are so focused on what we want, we miss the lessons that come with the hard times. We miss the opportunity to remove the sin. We just want to not hurt anymore. Instead, we miss the chance to change and to grow to be more like Him. Now let's flip that narrative. If here are the dangers of living as a Jesus consumer, what does it look like to be on mission? As Jesus' consumer, following Jesus becomes performance-based. But when we're on mission, we focus on his power, his provision. James 1:17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows." Church, our salvation does not come from our effort. Eternal life. And what James is saying here is that all of the goodness in this world, all of the blessings in our life come from him. So it is our charge by Jesus to stay on mission and let him take care of our blessings. As Jesus' consumers, we become more easily offendable. But when we're on mission, we actually begin spotting the enemy at work. When somebody says something that is offensive to us, and this could be even something that's offensive of calling us out as a Christian. But when we get called out, we don't get offended when we are on mission. We start to see the people and the places that need Jesus. We start to see the dark spots, and we can allow those things that normally would have hurt our feelings and made us in opposition to somebody else. Instead, we say, oh, here's an opportunity to shine. Here's a way that I can serve and make a disciple instead of worrying about how I feel at the moment. And lastly, as Jesus' consumers, obeying Jesus can be even more difficult. When we're on mission, we only want to go where Jesus leads, even if that's hard, even if we find ourselves in a valley. And sometimes I've been there. It lasts weeks, months, and longer sometimes. And I just want there to be some good. I just want to have some wins when I'm in that moment, when I'm in those valleys. And then I remember that Jesus is entirely good. Hear that, church. Jesus is entirely good. There is no darkness. It's not who he is. And so when I am in a valley and I want more good, just mathematically, if I bring him into the situation, it's going to improve. We want to invite him in, and I recommend that we do that. So what does Bridge City look like when we're all on mission? The Apostle Paul puts it this way in 12 verses 12 and 27. He calls this unity and diversity in the body. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Church, each one of us has been placed on purpose and for purpose by him. Did any of you choose the family that you were born into? No, right? Would any of you have chosen the family you were born in? No, don't answer that one. But we have been placed. We have been placed in our mission field. Your mission statement says, committed to living fully into the lives God created us for. Our families, our friends, our workplaces, our schools, these are the places where we get to practice evangelism. We point others to Jesus. Here's the opportunity to build relationships, to bridge needs, and to grow our faith. Here is where we make disciples. And as we do this individually, we're doing this as a part of a bigger body. The Engage Conference, that was the focus, to get GMCs alive and doing this together, because we are all in this and placed in different parts of the state and the country and the world to make disciples. So as you're doing this in your mission fields, in your personal relationships, the church is counting on you. GMC is counting on you. Crossroad is counting on you, and we want you to count on us as well, so that we can live out the Great Commission together in making disciples. All right, church, we are going to shift gears a little bit here. Thank you, Chad. He knows that's the cue. We're going to spend a few minutes in guided prayer. A few months ago, the Spirit and Truth Conference was held at Crossroad, and this was an exercise that really meant a lot to me, and I think it changed a lot of people's habits when it comes to prayer. I think a lot of us are good at praying. Maybe more precisely, we're good at talking to God. We have our lists. We have the things that where we want to see him involved. We have the people that we're praying for. We worship in prayer. And all of these things are so good, so important as part of a healthy prayer life. But I know for me, sometimes we don't stop talking enough to hear from him. So what we're going to do now, is just like we did at the conference, is I'm going to guide you through some points. And we're just going to spend a few minutes here hearing from the Holy Spirit. And so I urge you to stop the narrator, stop with the lists, and just be still and let him respond. It was so powerful. When we ask the Holy Spirit to respond, he does it. Okay. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we admit we can all grow distant from you. Sometimes we become less and less on mission for you. We confess sometimes we work solely for our own personal gain. Father, please reveal to each of us the areas that hold us back. Identify now the places where we have become Jesus consumers. Holy Spirit, I want to be more on mission for you. What is something specific you were calling me to do? In church, this could be anything. It could be excitement to host a small group. It may be ways to serve here at church. It could be conviction to get into the Word daily. Or even something as simple as sending a text to a family member to help build or mend a relationship. Holy Spirit, we're asking now, where do you want us to be more on mission for you? Okay, church. Wasn't so bad, was it? We have this tradition, I'll say that loosely, tradition at Crossroad, and it's called Awkward Sunday. Everybody's getting nervous again. I could feel it. Yeah. No. It's one of the things that Pastor Mike loves to do, and we always do it by surprise, because if we tell people that we're doing Awkward Sunday, they'll find other plans for that Sunday morning. But the idea behind Awkward Sunday is just to hear from each other. We get in groups of 2 to 4. And we just ask, where do we need Jesus to show up this week? We ask questions like, how is it with your soul? And allow each other just to respond to that. And so now I think we'll have our own version of Awkward Sunday. But just really taking a look at what we just heard. This won't take long. This won't be painful, I promise. But just find a partner, a few partners, and just share one thing. Did you hear a place that he's pointed out where we might have drifted and become more like a Jesus consumer, less on mission? Has he called you to be more on mission with something specific? Let's get those ideas going. Let's make sure that we're using what the Holy Spirit is saying. So we're only going to take about 2-3 minutes. So just please share with each other something that you heard, and hopefully it won't be too awkward. That wasn't too painful, right? No? Okay. Some people are like, the introvert's in the room. I'm an introvert. I get it. Yeah. Actually, I have a petition going at Crossroad that I think we should nix the term Awkward Sunday. When we're talking about what we are hearing in prayer, and going back to why we're at church, we're here to get equipped, sharing what the Holy Spirit is putting on our heart should be, it should be normal. So if you have any ideas of new names for that, let me know. I think our pastor, he loves it though. I think he has like a logo picked out and t-shirts and all this stuff. So I might not win that battle, but so how did we start today? Anybody remember? What did we say? Yes, Lord, yes. Okay, one more time. Yes, Lord, yes. So we have given Jesus our answer in advance, right? We need to stay on mission. Let's listen to what he is putting on your heart. Church, as we intentionally live out Acts 1:8, together as one body of Christ, we will stay the course of making disciples of Jesus Christ. Would you join me in prayer, please? Jesus, yes, Lord, yes. Father, we renew our commitment to be focused on expanding your kingdom. Forgive us when we become consumers and just looking for the benefits of being a Christian. Protect us, Jesus. Protect us from our sin that turns us away from you, that makes us pursue our wants over what you may be calling us to do. And protect us from the enemy and the world that so desperately does not want to see what it looks like for Bridge City to be on mission. And we thank you. We know that every good and perfect gift is from you. Let our day-to-day activities and interactions serve as our mission field. Help us shine your light with a world that needs you so much. It's in your name we pray. Amen.